Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the night with Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson. The views, opinions, and representations expressed on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network and its website are those of the hosts, guests, and participants, and are not necessarily those of or endorsed by the network, its affiliated stations and broadcasts, the management, other hosts, or advertisers of the network. The shows found on the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network can, but do not necessarily, promote any particular lifestyle, belief, religion, political affiliation, or other personal practice. These shows are for entertainment purposes only, and are not intended to treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition, or give any medical or legal advice. Night Dreams Talk Radio, After Dark, wants to give a big shout out to all the truckers that listen to our show. Coming to you from some far point station, like a cosmic tumbleweed, both north and south of the Pleiades. Here's your host, Gary Anderson.
Well, good evening, good morning, depending on your time zone. Coming to you like a blanket that covers the whole world. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gary Anderson. Well, tonight we got a really kind of a special show. We're not live normally on the weekends, but you know what? I figured, you know what? I didn't want to watch any more cowboy shows over the weekend. It's been a lot. So I decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about Before Disclosure tonight with two of my friends, James and Thomas. And we're just going to have a lot of fun here tonight. So, well, James, how are you doing?
I am doing good. Today was the coldest it's been in a long time. It was only about 61, but doing good. Hope you're doing good.
I am doing really good. And actually, here in the Northwest, we are now, the month of October so far, is the coldest month in the last 30 years. And that is kind of alarming. You know, but one thing I did notice, the tree leaves normally start dropping in September. They're now starting to drop. So that has been kind of delayed because of whatever the weather temperatures. But, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, we're not going through global warming. Well, you know what happens when you go through climate changes? It's erratic. So you're going to have hot spells. You're going to have cold spells. And it's not going to be as predictable. Now, also in the news today, I noticed, you know, they were talking about for the last year, they're saying, well, we're going to run out of oxygen on our planet in a billion years. Now they're saying, well, anywhere from a couple hundred years to a billion years, they don't know. But what's happening is the plankton is dying in the ocean, which creates most of our oxygen. And then our trees and our forests are being, well, dying and being, well, like in the Amazon, just kind of burnt down. And I tell you what, we could be like Mars. What do you think, Thomas?
You know, we may not be far off. I mean, not only that, you look at the water levels rising.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a website the other day where they were showing, you know, the water levels like in San Francisco and stuff. It's scary when you see the water levels rising to height they're projecting them to.
Well, you know, unless you're up in a nice, you know, penthouse and a huge skyscraper, you know, you could just take your line out like the Beatles did here in 1963. You know, down in Seattle, they had their fishing lines out of their window fishing. Well, you know that it's going to be like some of these shows like Waterworld. Remember that movie?
I try not to.
Yeah. Well, it's really kind
of... I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean.
It's scary. And a lot of people are in denial. And I don't know what it takes. You know, those are the same people that, you know, it could be pouring down rain and you say, hey, Sam, boy, it's sure raining. No, it's not. It's sunny. Hey, I don't know. A lot of people are in denial. And that's scary. Go ahead, James.
Even some of the scientists. We've had several scientists on over the last couple months talking about climate change, and we've had them, some saying, oh, it doesn't exist, and some say they're crazy. Of course it exists. So we're getting both ends of it. So who do you believe?
It's called, well, disinformation, I think. And again, people are in denial. It's just, that's the way life is. I mean, you know, the Jews, when they, you know, first were being rounded up, you know, they didn't do anything. They were in denial. We're in the same way right now. We're in denial with what's going on in the world all around us. By the way, guys, did you notice the Chinese sent a missile, a hypersonic missile, to test it and to explode it? But before they did that, they made it go all the way around our planet. And then it hit its target.
Oh, great.
That one I didn't see.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have me looking that one up now.
Now you got to look that one up. That one was scary. It shocked, put it this way, it shocked the Pentagon and the military leaders. They didn't know they were that far advanced.
Yeah. Sounds like they're flexing their muscles and taking it for a little test run to what may, a prelude to what may come.
I don't know. It's scary when technology goes so far. And talking about technology and speaking about it, let's go back to 1934 in Nazi Germany. They, if you want something about space and space stations and death rays and rockets and all this, UFOs and the Nazi bell, it all started around 1934, didn't it, Thomas?
You're right. It started in the 1930s for a lot of those projects. And when you look over the concepts of what they were doing back then, I mean, to me, the best term I can use is they were really thinking outside the box on a lot of stuff. They were pushing the envelope. It's like, you know, maybe this thing won't work, but let's try developing it anyway and see how far we get. I mean, they were exploring everything. I mean, rockets, which we know about, like the V-2s, which really assisted our space program. But you look at the Bell, the death ray concepts, all these things we're working on. It's really incredible. So you want to wait and sum it up?
Well, you know, and the thing is, they had the schematics, like for the death ray. And, you know, if you want to tell the people what it actually was and what it consisted of, or I can, but Thomas, what can you give the feedback on? What was it?
Well, there's actually almost multiple types, Gary. You had the one in this case, which was basically a mirror. And it goes back to a concept Archimedes had. And that goes way back, of where you get a number of mirrors and you focus them at one point. And you basically burn the object up. Now, Archimedes was doing it with, like, if a ship came in a harbor, they would focus all these mirrors like shields and try to set the ship on fire. Well, what the Nazis were doing is a similar concept, except they wanted to get these things up in space. They thought, well, if you can get these things up in space, let's say 22,000 miles or whatever it was, an incredible distance out, and you can control those, they just kind of sit there and say, okay, if somebody gets us upset, we'll burn them almost like an ant underneath a magnifying glass. We'll aim this mirror right at them and just take them right out. And when I saw all that initially, their idea, I started researching the Archimedes thing because I remembered hearing it someplace. And there's like a possibility behind that concept. Now, the thing is technologically being able to do it and how far you get with it. But the concept seems plausible. Now, that's one concept of this whole thing. They were working on actually a number of them along those lines, Gary, besides just that death ray idea. But that's the one which jumps out the most. I mean, they were pursuing everything. They thought, okay, we can put a mirror up. We can shine a mirror down. We can set them on fire. We can annihilate them that way. Or maybe there's something we can put on the ground, because if you think about it, the mirror is going to be limited by weather.
Right.
I mean, if you can have clouds in the way, it may heat the clouds up and superheat those, and who knows what would happen at that point. But if you don't, you need something on the ground. They're also working on things on the ground which could be potentially mobile, where they would, to begin with, they had an idea of using X-rays.
Right.
And the voltage behind these things was incredible. I mean, you're talking like 1 million volts pumping into this thing. And you're hoping to aim it at, let's say, aircraft coming. Is that was the biggest one of the biggest worries they had, is bombers coming over and destroying their facilities. Their facilities for manufacturing weapons. So if you could shoot this X-ray at this aircraft, maybe you could either kill the pilot, I mean, ignite them, just burn them right up inside their aircraft. But they found out that some of these designs that they had, one was using X-rays, another one was using like radio waves. It actually interrupted the magnetos on the aircraft. Now think about that. Here's an aircraft flying over 1930s, 1940s. They're shooting like X-rays and radio signals to these aircraft, and it interrupts the magnetos. Now, well, the magnetism is an old concept, but it basically keeps the spark going on the the spark plugs. It's providing the energy. And if you interrupt that, the airplane either comes down completely, or the other thing they were going after is the aircraft comes down low enough that now you can hit them with flak. Because that was the problem. Our bombers were going up to much higher altitudes, like 30,000 feet, something like I believe it was, 25 to 30,000. It was getting above the accuracy of their flak guns. So now you're basically bringing the aircraft down so it's making it a better target.
Isn't that really scary, what their thoughts were? And they spent most of their money that was generated on these type of, things, which really, it really shocked us when we, entered into Germany and we started capturing this stuff and we started getting these blueprints of stuff. I mean, their technology was so far advanced. In fact, a lot of these people, when they were on trial, they basically just hand slapped these scientists. And then either they went to Russia or they went to the United States, depending on, who captured them. But in Nuremberg, all these scientists and stuff were given a slap. And they were brought over here to develop our rocketry and other things. Who knows what they also that we have now? We talk about Star Wars when Reagan was president. Who knows? Maybe we already have something like that because of all this information we captured at the end of World War II.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Herr Hans Kammler, he was the one, I believe, responsible for that Nazi bell, the Glocke. Now, he allegedly traded his freedom for all the secrets that was behind that to our military. So there's that information. So think about that. And that's just one project.
Well, there's a lot of these projects, and it's mind-boggling. Let's face it, we didn't have jet engines, we didn't have jet aircraft, but after the war we sure developed it fast, or very towards the end of the war we actually started developing, but not anywhere as sophisticated as what the Germans had.
No.
No, and you're right. We were on the infant stages of jets, just somewhat like they were, but you think of where they were at with their resources. To me, one of the great things about being here in Ohio is we've got Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and especially the museum. I love to go down to the museum, but if I can't, I like to go down there once a year. Because inside the museum, I get a chance to actually see some of these devices on there, Gary. I went down, and here's like an ME-262 jet fighter. They've got the engine opened up so you can see the inside of how the engine is built. And you look at this, and I've got a design background. I'm looking at this thing thinking, this was made in the 1940s off of 1940s manufacturing equipment. That's an incredible job for what they did. They have the Comet fighter, which is one of the ones that had like the rocket motors in. I even went to the another side of the museum, which isn't normally open to the public. And here's the remnants of V-2 rockets sitting there. That they pulled out of fields in Europe after they crashed, and they were saving them to eventually put them together and put them on display. But you look at this technology, and I'm thinking 1940s. They had to do an incredible job building, designing, and assembling these things for the technology it had available.
What I've read, too, is basically any scientist in Germany had an idea for something like this. They were given free rein, and they were given the funding to go ahead and try to create what their thoughts were of a death ray or of a jet. Even you mentioned the jets, they were just in the process of coming out with another jet. If the war would have drug on even a couple more months, which would have been more sophisticated and had speeds over 700 miles an hour.
you're right. I mean, the ME-262, which is one of the more advanced ones, one of the limitations it had was when one thing was Hitler getting mixed in the project, because originally it was designed to be like a fighter for intercepting our bombers at high speed. Then they changed over and wanted a bomber made from it. Then they changed it back to a fighter. So you have all this confusion within their own military on what this thing is going to be used for. So that slowed down the whole design process. But it was running like 100 and some miles an hour faster than our fastest fighters at the time.
Oh, yeah. You know, our fastest fighters, what, around 300 and some miles an hour? Typically, it was around 280, 270, depending on the aircraft. And, you know, again, like I was reading, they had it perfected. I think they made three prototypes, and they were getting ready to start, you know, production of it. Of a fighter, it would have gone 700 miles an hour. I mean, that meant we no way could even begin to catch it. And they also figured out the fuel problem, where instead of being up for 5 or 10 minutes before it would run out of fuel, they would, you know, be out there quite a bit longer. And you know, if you think about it, if we wouldn't have found out about their hard water and bombed that, they were working on the next level rocket at that point, where they could have delivered a nuclear bomb anywhere in the world. And that's what they were working on.
You're right. I mean, there was so much. I mean, you had the V2 concept, basically, they had in the mid-1930s. And von Braun and that whole group was experimenting with that thing. But you think about its capability. I mean, the range was kind of limited. They were going after England. The thrust, though, at the time, and they were putting this thing up to above the 62-mile range. I mean, think about how much of a big deal they made of Shatner going up into technically space. They did it in the 1940s. And if not before, with some of their testing, most likely. They were taking rockets that high. And they were very aggressive because, like you mentioned, they were looking at creating longer range.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Versions which wouldn't go just maybe 60-70 miles, they would go into
the V2
400 mile range.
The V2 rocket had a range, I think 250 mile range or 200 and some mile range. But again, could you imagine, you know, like a V3 or V4 rocket with the capabilities of hitting, you know, New York? And not just that, you know, else a lot of people don't even realize this. I didn't even realize this till last night. They actually were mounting, and towards the end of the war, they came out with a new super submarine with one mission in mind, to launch rockets into New York. That was their plan.
Yeah, I think they came out with six of those before. total. And then the war ended or something. But, you know, another thing they had too, Gary and Thomas, was pretty much the blueprints for the stealth bomber in that Horton HO-229. It was basically a flying wing, which looked like the stealth bomber. And that was way ahead of its time also.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, that one, there was an interesting show they did on one of the channels, like Discovery Channel. I don't know if you saw that, James, because I've been fascinated with the flying wing for years. I mean, it's one of my favorite types of planes, and not the one from like the B-2, but going back to like the Horton brothers, or for that matter, Northrop, going back to the 1930s, 40s, 50s, because you remember that scene in the original War of the Worlds movie with Gene Barry back in the 1950s. You had the flying wing coming over and dropping the atom bomb on the Martians. Well, I remembered that plane, and I researched it and looked at all the predecessors. And it's a very interesting plane. Well, the one that the Nazis made, it was the, going back to like Northrop, I believe it was, they actually made a model of that, duplicating it. They went back, made the outside, and the outside was wood, by the way, because they were so limited on construction materials. They made it to scale. Now, they didn't put engines in it, but they duplicated everything as much as they could from an exterior point of view, just to see if this thing was actually as stealthy as what they were theorizing. And they were surprised how stealthy this aircraft was for 1940s.
And also, it not just being stealth, it also would handle better, because you know some of our new bombers now, what do they resemble?
That's right. And you've got the newest one coming out, the B-21, which is similar to the B-2. I don't know how soon that's coming out, but it's the same basic concept of the flying wing. And the advantages we have now is the computer control to help adjust the trim and all the other basic aircraft settings. And I'm not familiar with that much, but to adjust these settings much faster. Also, now you've got engine technology much better than what they had back in that time frame, because some of the engines, like on the ME-262 fighter, they had to be almost overhauled every time they took the plane up, because it was just a technology at that time wasn't there for the bearings and the other things. But that whole foundation is there with those aircraft. And like you said, James, that's an amazing aircraft in itself to me. I mean, that flying wing concept.
I think it's beautiful when you see one of them, you know, flying. I mean, this the technology on it. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people say ETs worked with the Nazis to create a lot of this stuff. I don't believe it. I really think what happened is that the Nazi government just opened it up to all the scientists. Hey, just come up with your ideas. And if you come up with an idea we like, we'll fund it. And we'll give you other scientists to work with you to make it real. And that's what they were spending, like I said, a lot of their, you know, gross income and money. As you know, wars make money and create money. And I tell you, the technology, I just don't think it was from ETs. I think that they allow their scientists just to go wild.
Yeah, and I did read one of the theories, too, because a lot of the big question is, if they had all this technology, why didn't they win the war? Even if they worked with the aliens and had all this technology and these saucers, why didn't they win the war? Because I've asked that question. And one of the theories I read today was there was a lot of fighting with some of the bigwigs and Hitler and stuff, and especially with the Navy. They held back on some of the secrets. They didn't confess the totality of it all to Hitler, supposedly. So, I mean, that was one of the theories. But there was so much stuff that they had, allegedly, that you would think, boy, if they wanted to squash people, right, there's your – they had the technology to do it.
Well, James, here's the issue, and we got to go take a break in about 2 minutes. Here's the issue. They were in conflict with all these countries, or, you know, World War II going on. So you had the Russians, you had, you know, the Americans, you had the French, you had all this stuff, right? And they were, Germany was losing ground, and all their resources of petrol, metal, ammunition, that was their number one priority the last year of the war, trying to keep up with the production of their super tanks and all this stuff. And I think if Hitler would have took it a little bit slower, then the whole outcome would have been totally different. I don't know how you feel about that, Thomas. I think he just bit off too much because he wasn't capable.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gary. Going back to begin with, I think you're right with, you know, I don't think the ET helped him. There's all these stories about the Vril and all this other stuff out there, but I don't think you want to sell the human mind short on its capability. And I think the biggest mistake he made was going on two fronts, going into Russia the way he did. If he would have held off on that, maybe it would have been a whole different outcome on the war.
I agree with you. And not just with Russia. I mean, look at this. He had a pact with England, too. I mean, could you imagine what he did with England? England was going to go along with Germany at one point, Germany was going to start expanding their country. England was going to be right there with them. He turned around and decided, well, you know what? We don't need you. He also did the same thing with with Russia. He played coy with them. Hey, yeah, we'll conquer the world together. When he already knew what he wanted. We'll be right back with Thomas and with James. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. It was updated today.
On the night with Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson. You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com?
From the compound in beautiful Gig Harbor, Washington, Night Dreams Talk Radio presents your host, Gary Anderson.
Hey, that is me. We're back. Today is the 17th of October. Boy, we're in a time warp. Time is going by so fast. Big shout out to Barb, to Ron, to our, well, one of our favorite listeners down under in Australia, to Ron, Mother Scorpion, and whoever else is on chat here tonight. I know the chat is not like it normally is, but, you know, people didn't expect us to be on, but here we are. That's the whole thing. If you really think about it, Thomas, I mean, what was going on? I just don't... You hear all these rumors that, you know, that the Nazi base in Antarctica, you hear about the ETs were helping the Nazis come with it. From what I have read, what I actually seen is that just their technology that if you devote and let the scientists go rampant with ideas, you know, that's how things, you know, advance technology wise. And, you know, again, they were had plans to create a space shuttle. They had plans to make a space station for then they could put this mirror up. I think it was 250 miles. I could be wrong on that. From the Earth, where they could control, you know, the population in countries they don't like. I mean, they did come up with a lot of good ideas. But I'll tell you what, again, like James was saying, the reason why they didn't conquer the world is because they had too many frying pans in the fire. And towards the end, they just didn't have the supplies and to actually create this stuff. I mean, it was towards the end of the war, they couldn't even hardly get petrol, am I right?
You're right.
Right.
I mean, they're running out of petrol. I mean, metals just to build aircraft. When you see, like, the flying wing that James mentions made from wood, I mean, that's how deep they were digging for resources.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the couple's last submarines that they actually built, you know, they were virtually, well, a couple of them actually was destroyed, you know, and the other ones were basically destroyed, never even were able to set out to sea because they didn't even have the diesel. You know, they built, finally got, you know, these last technology, high technology subs out, and they didn't even have the diesel to do, you know, to send them out on a mission. That's how bad it was towards the end of the war. But if you really think about it, if they would have kind of like held back a little bit, you know, then I think we would not be talking English in this country.
That's a good point. You know, here's another sobering thought. If you think, if the aliens did help them, then these types of aliens that helped the Nazis, they would have to fall under birds of a feather flock together, kind of nefarious and but not very kind of aliens you'd like to have, you know, coming to your planet, I would think, if you think about it.
Well, hey, let's be honest. Thomas, jump on this, too. Think about this. We got a lot of pictures of them building these aircrafts, building the V-2 rockets, building tanks, building this, doing this, right? Show me one picture where aliens were involved helping them build UFOs.
Yeah, and if you see the pictures, I've had videos sent to me where you see these the UFO called the Hanabu that they supposedly developed. You see it flying around, and first of all, I want to know where the video came from, who took the video, you know, the whole sources behind it, because it may just be creative CGI, for all I know. And I haven't seen anything that really says, okay, this thing, like you said, was developed by an alien culture, or they helped. Here's video of the aliens. You don't see anything like that. All you see is grainy photographs trying to make it look like the 1940s. And I think most of them are just CGI.
Well, there's a lot of movies that, you know, film it. Survived World War II, and I tell you, in their factories, that weren't grainy. So, I mean, when you start seeing these grainy things with, you know, like with the UFOs or whatever. Here's another thing. You know, you talked about Shatner, right? He didn't really go into space. He went to the edge of space. Big difference, because if that would have went into space, when they would come back down, they would have burned up. They didn't go into space. They went to the edge of space. Now, if you look at the technology of the Germans at that time, if they would have had a UFO, they didn't have the, I don't think they even had the technology or even probably would have realized what would happen when, if they went out of atmosphere, number one, let alone what would happen when they come back in. I mean, they would know what would happen to the people on board from what they did to the prisoners, right? But building a craft out of what technology they had, there's no signs they had any exotic materials.
You know, a question for you, Gary, because I know you know this. Back then in the 30s and 40s, we didn't have these integrated circuits, and we were still using tubes, big tubes and stuff, right? So if we have this, they had this advanced technology, and they were still using, wouldn't the technology like far outweigh what they're using on the ground in everyday life? It doesn't make sense, or am I wrong?
Well, hey, do you remember, guys, those space movies we watched and still occasionally see, depending on what cable company you're watching? But remember those crafts? They go into these rockets and they have these big riveted bulkheads and all this major steel, the weight factor. Now, think about it. I mean, if they would have had even tubes, electronics, and whatever, there would have been a weight factor. And what are they going to do? Make a craft out of aluminum? Because, like I said, there was no signs of any exotic metals like titanium. There was no findings, at least, you know, of heat shields or anything. Now, Thomas, have you ever heard of any of this exotic metals that the Germans created? I know they had hardened steel and stuff, but I don't think that would work for a craft going into space.
Not to titaniums and levels like that you're looking at. And I agree with you on the fact of the limitations, because one of the things that they were developing was basically, it could be interpreted as a shuttle, a space shuttle. One of the aircraft they had was nicknamed a Silverbird. It was an aircraft that had rocket engines. And when you look up the specs on this thing, the engines were developed in the mid-1930s for static testing. They were putting out more thrust, Gary, than the V-2. When they designed it, this thing was designed to go like a 10,000 feet a second is what the engines were putting out for exhaust. And there were varying amounts on the altitude they said this thing could go to, but they put it down something like that V-1. They put it down on skids. Or like, a matter of fact, the one rocket movie from the 1950s, Rocket Ship XM or whatever it was. Here it's on like a sled, and it goes down the sled and then comes up an incline and launches. It takes off and goes up to an initial altitude, but then it fires its engines and goes up to like anywhere between like 90 miles and 174 miles up in space. And this is where the stuff's sketchy about it. But he said it would fire a rocket engine like 8 minutes is the concept. Their thinking is, I mean, really outside the box. I mean, here this thing goes up to an altitude. It starts descending, but it hits the atmosphere and it skips like a rock going across the lake. So it goes back up, comes down again, skips again. And just like a rock, the skips are getting a little bit lower and lower and lower, but it extends its range. And this was designed to hit the United States. And I think they said the projected range is like almost 15,000 miles for this thing for, I mean, 1940s again. But the limitations, they said, was the materials it's made of. That at that time, the Germans didn't realize the heat buildup on reentry, like we're familiar with today.
Yeah.
And they said most likely the design may have got them up, but it had been like a suicide mission coming back down.
Well, yeah, they would have burned up. I mean, you know, that's just like if something goes wrong on that, and I'm not mentioning because I don't want to get sued, but, you know, where Shatner went, you know, on that craft just to the edge of space, if it would malfunction and went up a little farther, then it would have been a one-way ride.
Yeah, true.
He wouldn't have been able to come down.
Yeah, and then when you do come down, you're right. It's a lose-lose situation for them people. That's the same way we talk about going to Mars. It's a one-way trip. We've talked about that same thing. And allegedly, the Nazis supposedly went to Mars, too, and the moon.
Well, there's people out there, Thomas, too, that believe that the Nazis had these UFOs and they're all conquering space and they're in control of the galaxy and the solar system. I don't buy that. I don't. I've had some of those people who claim...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That they were part of it, and I just find that hogwash.
I was at some meetings with some people that are very big into the Hanabu, which is the name of the German UFO that was supposedly developed. They believe it. I mean, they believe the different variations. Oh, they could go into space. They could do this. But I'm like, looking at the structure of this thing. Look at the structure. This thing is riveted together. Now, think about a rocket coming in to reentry. The heat buildup. Also, I mean, here you're showing me things that look like gun ports that they can put guns through.
Yeah.
Think about holding pressure in that thing, you know.
Mm.
And I'm like, really look at from an analytical point of view. Is that truly plausible?
No.
And I don't think so. Absolutely not.
You know, those rivets, let alone being airtight, okay? And just thinking of the, you know, the pressure, you know, those rivets would let loose. It would expand. You know, I was on a aircraft years ago. A friend of mine who was retired from the FAA, he was actually in charge of a certain area for the FAA. And for many years, he was an investigator. And we were on a aircraft, and I'm not mentioning the name, but it was the same one that actually flew from Hawaii, and it was the same plane, and it was like a month later or 2 months later that plane lost part of the cabin. It just flew off, and the reason why we knew it, we were sitting near the bulkhead towards the back of the plane, and when we took off, my friend Bob got really nervous, and I go, what's wrong? He goes, that bulkhead shouldn't be moving like that. And that he traced it down through his friends, because he was retired from the FAA and he was a regional director. He traced it down. It was that craft. I don't know if you guys remember that one in Hawaii that lost part of the top of the cabin and people were sucked out.
Yeah. I mean, they made a movie about that. Matter of fact, I remember that. It's horrible. I couldn't imagine being in there. Next thing you know, because you lose pressure, and again, you're right. Yeah, it sucks a lot of people out. And anything that's not nailed down.
Yeah, well, even stuff that was bolted down, not nailed down, bolted down, just pulled right out, like it was not, you know, even secure. And that tells me that even if they have the technology, Thomas, to have a UFO to leave the Earth's atmosphere. With the type of metals they had, it's not feasible. I mean, no. If they made it out of aluminum, for example, aluminum's one of the worst metals for expanding and all that. if it went out of the atmosphere. Just remember, all the shuttles, all the capsules, you know, from the astronauts, they had heat shielding on. And without the heat shielding, they would have burned up. So, you know, like you mentioned, that some of these craft of pictures and videos of the supposedly Nazi UFOs, like with gun ports, right? I look at that and I go, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, and here's a little side note I found on it.
James, what were you saying?
I was going to say, perfect example, you were talking about the expanding. The space shuttle that we had in the 80s, 86 or 7, that one that exploded. The reason why is because of the expansion between those tanks. The seal wasn't right. Yeah, the seal wasn't right because of compensate for that expanding. So, yeah, when you get into space, that expansion is big. Those ribbons would be popping off like popcorn.
I don't even think it would survive going out, honestly, our atmosphere. What do you think, Thomas?
Well, on that, no, I don't think it would hold together. And here's something that, based on not our necessarily current technology, but some of our former technology, the SR-71 Blackbird, one of the fastest planes that at least we know of right now. You're looking at a plane that can probably go, Mach 3 or so. When that sets on the ground, it's leaking fuel. You can see videos of this thing just sitting there, and the fuel is leaking out of it. And the question comes up, well, you've got fuel leaking out. You can't fly that thing. Yes, you can, because once it starts getting up in the air and picking up speed, this thing has like a titanium hull, and that titanium expands. And the fuel tank seal once it starts getting up closer to speed. But it's leaking fuel on the ground because they build it tight. Once it expanded, everything would start coming apart.
You're right. In fact, I just read about that recently. So you're 100%. You know what? Yeah, go ahead, James.
I was going to say, James Goodall, who's been on our show two, three times, he actually has flown one, I think, and he has flown it a couple times. Matter of fact, he even said that on the show. You can look on the ground, you can tell where a Blackbird's been because it leaves a telltale mark of where it leaks.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the crew members, flight crew members on the Blackbird. And that you're right. Just on that. So, I mean, if you think about it, I just don't buy that the Germans had the technology. I think they were working on it. But to perfect it, I mean, it's a long ways to go from a rocket into a jet into a flying disc that could leave our atmosphere and come back. I know they were working on it because they were really, like I said, they were taking these prisoners and they were putting them in pressure chambers and giving them subject to virtually no pressure to high pressure to see what would happen to their bodies. And like we were talking about before we went on the air, it literally was physically tearing their bodies apart.
Very much so.
Yeah, when you read into it, it's really disturbing to see what little respect they had for human life in the name of research. Putting somebody up into an atmosphere equivalent to 60-some thousand feet and then, like, breaking the window out of an airplane and having that sudden decompression. That was just completely disturbing when I read about that. And you even said, Gary, that you saw pictures that they had out there of those things.
I saw it actually turned my stomach. I saw some pictures, where they literally tore their faces off. Tore their limbs off. That's what it would do to them. And can you also imagine if they were out of the Earth's atmosphere, right? And they were exposed to space, their bodies would implode.
Not fun. Not fun at all. Plus, I would think your lungs would freeze first, then you'd explode. I mean, it's just so many things.
You wouldn't worry about it. You would be dead before you could say the word S word. You'd be gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time.
So, I'm just saying, but again, if people want disclosure, now let's kind of shift over that for a minute now, Thomas. You know, we had our disclosure, which I mentioned so many times, and people keep telling me, but Gary, that was in 1947. That doesn't mean anything. We had our disclosure about a flying saucer crashing in 1947 when the Army Air Force announced that they had a UFO, a crashed UFO. Now, regardless if they recanted it by morning, could you imagine the Pentagon and the president and everybody, you know, the military leaders freaking out, you know, somebody getting without probably the right information, the approval to announce we have a crashed UFO. But that was, to me, the most disclosure you ever going to get from the government. And, you know, when it comes to what happened in Germany in the 30s and during the 40s, we'll never really know how far advanced they were. That's the scary part.
No, we never will, because you picture after the war, Russia was coming in, we were coming in, England, all the other powers coming in and try to take whatever technology they could for our own uses. So here, let's say, for example, England may have gotten a hold of something. We may have got something related to it. Maybe even Russia got something related to the same project, and we all go our separate directions. And now you've got to try to reassemble everything from all these little fragmented pieces. So who knows? You know, I mean, we'll never know what the Russians may have gotten, what England, other countries may have gotten 100%.
Well, you know,
that information.
Not to change the subject, you know what really scares me is hypersonic craft. You know, like missiles. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, our own government freaked out here this week when they realized that China sent a hypersonic missile around the globe, and then it landed and exploded where they exactly wanted it to. And it tells me that if a country goes on the wrong path and puts all their resources financially and science-wise to create it, boy, technology can take big jumps really fast.
It sure can. Let me ask you this, Gary, Thomas, you know, since you spoke about China and this missile, do you think that maybe some of these tic-tac or UFOs or UAPs that they're seeing, do you think that it may be some of their advanced drones and work?
I think you're onto something there, James. It may be something that they're testing out something, because one of the things I look at initially is all these things are happening in the military operation areas. And if you're a foreign country and you want to test out your equipment against the best that another foreign country may have, you go right in that military operation area where you've got the state-of-the-art radar systems, sonar systems, everything else, and you can see how well they're tracking you, how well they pick up your objects, how well they track them, get an idea of what radar systems we may have and their full capabilities. I mean, you're just doing a feeling out process. The other thing is they're not going to be shooting at them most likely, because if you shot down something that, let's say, happens to be a Chinese craft, even though it's in our military operation area, it would be considered potentially an act of war because it's in international waters.
But here's the thing, though, Thomas. I watched on a news show back here a couple months ago, they interviewed a pilot and a co-pilot of a fighter. Okay, and they went after, you know, during the tic-tac, they went after whatever it was. And they said that even with the afterburners, they could not even keep up with it. And let alone at the ceiling height it was and dropping down to sea level virtually instantly, if it was manned, controlled, You know, like Dr. Bruce McAbee said, when he did all his mathematical calculations, he said no human could have handled that G-force. They would have been jello. They would have been liquid, splattered all inside whatever the craft is. So whatever it is, it has way more technology than I can even comprehend.
And I think you're seeing different levels too, Gary. You're seeing like the ones like they call the Tic Tac, and then you've got the ones like what James may have been referring to, like the drone type things,
right,
out there that have been reported more recently. But that Tic Tac, you're right. I mean, when the numbers I'm hearing are the G forces that some of our best aircraft, like an F-18, breaks apart at X number of Gs, and this object, whatever it is going, who knows, maybe 5, 10, 20 times the G-force.
Well, according to you, right. Dr. McAbee said in excess of 15 Gs, and a human can't handle anywhere near that, and they're no longer a human. They're gone. Even if the craft could take it, they would be gone. With at least our technology.
Well, even the craft, it's mechanical nuts and bolts. It's gonna break up unless there's some kind of system that neutralizes anti-gravity or something. Because you're right, material things are not made to withstand high G forces. Not to mention 6, 7, 8, 15 Gs.
Yeah, that's scary. So whatever is going on, and you know, if you really think about this too, I was talking to a guy here 2 days ago. A friend of mine, I should say. And we were just talking. He goes, you know, I wonder how long it's going to take the Chinese to have a space station. I said, duh. Don't you listen to the news? They already have one.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Big time. That's scary.
And they're planning to go to the moon. And land on the moon and create a base. I mean, think about it. We were supposed to go back to the moon. But, you know, again, I don't want to get political here, but we don't have the money to do it. So it gets pushed off and pushed off. You have to look at, as Putin said last week, the United States is not the biggest economy anymore. We're number two. China is the biggest economy. And, you know, if you really think about it, like I mentioned on the show the other night, James, it's almost impossible to find out who holds your mortgage to your house. I mean, you could go to Bank of America and get a mortgage with them, but undoubtedly they're going to package that with somebody, all these other ones, thousands of other ones, and they're going to sell them off. And I tell you, where they're going to is China holds virtually over half of the mortgages in the United States, and people don't realize that. And then we think we have the strongest economy. We don't anymore, and that's scary.
That is scary. And here's my question to both of you. Over the history, you can look at history. Wars have been started by one country claiming land and another country saying, no, it's ours. And there's been wars. The United States has been wars started about that. Now, how about this? So China claims the moon. Now, we're going to want to claim the moon, obviously, or maybe Russia and these other countries. Is that where the next war is going to be for the moon in space?
I can't answer that.
Yeah, and yet I couldn't either. I mean, it's an interesting concept because you're right. I mean, if they get there, they establish, let's say, for example, a station on the moon. It's going to be a good question.
We need to go on break. And, you know, when we come back, I don't know if you guys will know this, but when I got something I want to say when we come back. And this will be a real quick break, so stay tuned. You're listening to me, Gary. You're listening to James and Thomas here on Night Dreams Talk Radio, the Sunday Special Edition.
You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio, and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com? You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio After Dark with our host,
Gary Anderson.
And that is me, I think. Or am I Memorex? I'm not sure anymore. You know, scientists, NASA just said this last couple days ago. In our galaxy, they found something that alarmed them. Did you hear that at all, Thomas?
Which one?
Well, the one that they said that it can't happen, but it's there. And they're trying to figure out what it is. And if it's what they think it is, all the Big Bang Theory, everything from Einstein and everything will be out the window. That's the one I'm talking about.
That one I didn't hear. You've got to enlighten me on that one.
Well, it didn't really go into it other than it was a major find that it could throw science totally off about the universe. So, you know, hopefully we're going to find out more about that. But, you know, it's scary. And, you know, but here, going back to what I was starting to say here before we took that little short break, is Russia already has satellites with missiles on it, nuclear warheads, aimed at our country. A lot of people don't realize that. I don't know if we have them aimed at them. But, you know, we already have a space force in a way because, you know, if you think about it, they have a space force if they already have satellites with missiles on it. And who knows about China?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, they seem to be taking over the lead, China does, and all the advancements in the space now. I think they're well ahead of the race, and I think they're holding back on a lot of things they've done that we don't even have a clue knowing what they've done.
Well, you know, too, what day is it next week? We got a guest on who is a professor, and he's noted for speaking about what would happen if we had a nuclear war. And that was really interesting. So, and then, you know, I'm kind of waiting for what he has to say. But today in one of the science journals said that if we had even a small nuclear war, and I put it up on the Facebook group page, we're done. We're done as a civilization, yeah. As a world, we're done.
Yeah.
And the guest you're talking about is Steve Starr. He's going to be on Thursday. He is a top authority on all things nuclear from A to Z. So I'd love to hear his opinion on that when we get him on. But that's some scary food for thought, Gary.
Like the nuclear winter would destroy Earth as we know it. I mean, it would. Remember the old Mad Max? You know, the original one?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we would turn into really, really fast.
Really, and you know what? I think the grid system going down would turn us into that, not to mention a nuclear war. Think about it. We've talked about that on here for the last 3-4 years all the time, and that's scary stuff too.
Well, that's what I don't you know what? That's what I don't understand about politics.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Politicians, I know we're off the subject here, but every time you mention the grid system, I turn red. Because all this money they want to spend to whatever they want to do in Washington, D.C., there's not one penny of it tied in to shoring up our grid system. Not one frickin' penny.
It should be top of the list.
I would think so.
And you see what hackers are doing alone just with banks, I mean, hospitals, different other facilities when they get into them.
Oh, yeah. Not just that. Google is going to authenticate you now. In by January, it'll be a two-step with anything, with you getting into your emails, going on to Google Chrome, anything. Because hackers, it's gotten so bad that they're setting it up where you have to set up a two-way, or you're not going to be able to use Google. You're not going to be able to get on the internet.
Well, Gary, wasn't just recently that you mentioned that one country or some people from a country pretty much hacked us some information and then kind of like extorted money to get it to release it or to fix it or something along those lines? Or am I wrong?
Well, that was it was two countries that were doing it. And it was not just that. It was even you, businesses, government agencies, basically. They would take over your computer. And if you didn't give them the money they wanted, well, guess what? You might throw your computer away. But even if they give you the information, okay, and you pay them, now they're in your computer. And a lot of people don't realize this. The best protection you have, besides a virus program, is honestly clear out your modem router every other day. Just unplug it for like 60 seconds and plug it in. Yeah, inconvenience. Everything like from your cable to your internet will take 3 to 5 minutes to reboot. But it clears out all its memory. And it's a less chance of getting hacked. And a lot of people don't realize that. I've been hacked with this show. I know.
Oh, yeah. And I do. Listen, if anybody knows, you know. So please listen to what Gary's telling you. Very good advice there.
But getting back, I mean, do you think we're ever going to have disclosure, Thomas? Really? You know, it's past the time limit. A lot of people are not realizing it. They haven't really came out with anything more when they promised.
I don't think so. I mean, you're going to see potentially another report coming out next number of months, but I don't think it's really going to be anything different than the last one. They'll imply maybe, okay, we've had these encounters at different military operation areas. We've had these various incidents with pilots, crew, etc. This is what they've talked about. But as far as seeing anything of any depth, I don't think so. It's always going to go back to that concept, oh, it's a national security thing, we can't give this out. Or it's going to go back to the old term, deniability. They'll deny it happened, just like they did back with Project Blue Book and all the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing there. Yeah.
Yeah. Project Blue Book was nothing more than a whitewash. At least that's my opinion. I mean, it was nothing more than to debunk it, because everybody they interviewed, you know, they literally made them feel like idiots.
Swamp gas.
Yeah, swamp gas. Yes.
Yeah. We had one of the cases here in Ohio where Blue Book came out and basically told the two deputy sheriffs back in Portage County in 1966 that they were either seeing like a satellite or mistaking Venus. And when you hear the audio description from one of the deputies from back then, he goes, this thing was as big as a house and it was right above me.
Yeah.
That's where they got the idea in Close Encounters for that object that they were chasing. That doesn't quite resemble a satellite or Venus, to best of my knowledge, you know?
Oh, yeah. And the guy who perfected swamp gas, we had a son on our show. Was that about 8-9 months ago or maybe a year ago, James?
Yeah, Paul Hynek. Yeah, he was on the show. And you know, it's funny about that swamp gas. That was in Michigan, and the ex-president Gerald Ford got involved with that, too. He didn't like it.
Well, I don't believe. Of course, he totally changed. You know, in his later years, he totally changed. And that's why you saw him in that movie, you know. And, you know, where he's taking his pipe and he's looking at the craft with the ETs. You know, he actually, you know, had a little camera part in that. But, yeah, the whole point is what we're talking about here tonight is, yes, I think the Germans had massive technology, advanced years more than any other country. But I don't believe that they had any craft that could have left our atmosphere. That's just my feeling. I'm not a scientist, but going from everything I've read, you know, it's mind-boggling. They just didn't have the technology. They didn't have the exotic materials to build a craft, let alone to know what would happen if it did leave the atmosphere and come back down, because let's face it, they just didn't know.
Well, and two, one of the things during war and pre-war and after war is lack of resources. I mean, look at all the rations and stuff. Think of all the resources you need to build these things and maintain them and fly out of our atmosphere. And over the years, all these things coming in and out, you would think some agency would be spotting these craft.
Well, look, now both of you guys, correct me on this, okay? As you know, the whole story about Admiral Byrd, I mean, you can take it or not take it. Okay? Like I was telling James here earlier today, the Philadelphia experience, I don't believe it happened. I just don't, because if you really do research on it, no way it happened. The problem is a movie came out at one point, and a lot of things, when you see it years ago, right, all start becoming real. Have you ever noticed that, Tom?
Oh, yes. Because I remember, was it Al Bielek?
Al Bielek, yes.
It was one who claimed that he was on, you know, the ship and so forth. He had this great
Elridge
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Elridge, right. And it gets into the movie. It gets out into the books. It gets on to the basic television shows that, you know, put this information out about it. But to me, when I really look at it from a technical point of view, I think it's an interesting story. But to me, if you went back and looked at the ship like the Elridge, if you're putting mammoth transformers on like they claim, there still should be evidence of those transformers and stuff after this whole thing happened. I mean, they couldn't completely rebuild the ship if there was things of the crew members' bodies being partially in and out of the metal of the ship. There should have been evidence of stuff like that being corrected.
Well, if you
and
do,
you don't hear any discussion about that.
But if you do research and spend a couple hours researching, you'll find that ship was nowhere near there, where it's supposed to have been, where they were doing this testing. It was not anywhere near there. But again, you know, you have Al, who came up with his story, and let's face it, I mean, you know, it was credible. But again, I don't think we had the technology to have done what he claims it was being done, let alone, as I said, the ship was never there. So it's funny, because the ship actually served for a few years before it was decommissioned. And a lot of people, you know, don't even comprehend that. Now, Al said, oh, what they quickly did is they named another ship, the same ship. And it's just a lot of things. But what really is mind-boggling, okay, if the Nazis had the technology from ETs, and they had, like, I heard some people claim they had, like, 7 UFOs. Well, don't you think if they had 7 UFOs, even if they were losing the war, even the last month of the war, all it would have took is to go over Washington, D.C. with a UFO and hover or do whatever it could do? And don't you think maybe that could have changed the outcome of the war?
Oh, yeah. I do.
Think about, you know. Yeah, if you just think about like a craft like that going over Washington, especially if it had like a Nazi swastika on it, that people could see. I mean, that would change a lot of people's thinking. It's like, wait a minute, they've got this technology and they're here?
Well, if they had that technology, let's face it, they wouldn't have lost the war.
They could have ended the war real quick.
Yeah. So why would they have let themselves lose the war? Again, you know, what happens is these stories start, they start manifesting for the years, and then all of a sudden, people believe it. And now it's for God's sake, it's true, it really happened. Okay, yes.
It's a lot like those people that spread from the military disinformation about UFOs. They mix in a lot of facts and truth with a lot of not facts and truth. And like the telephone game, like you kind of mentioned, over time it becomes its own story. It becomes real to a lot of people.
So I don't know. You know, and then I think about even Russia when they sent one of their first astronauts out to the space. And he didn't survive because the craft disintegrated, coming back into reentry. Were you guys aware of that?
Yeah, I was.
I've heard those stories before.
Yeah, there was a colonel. I can't think of his name, but you know, he was in communication with him. You know, he realized that that the craft was going to break up and burn up because they didn't have heat shields on it.
I actually heard the recording of the guy in the craft. It was pretty mind-blowing. So, yeah, he realized that he was on a one-way trip back, and it was going to end well. But I do believe there was other astronauts they pretty much sacrificed that they didn't put out there because they didn't want to lose face and stuff. So how many do we not know that, you know, have died from doing their little missions?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we would have had UFO craft, why would we have done that?
Right. True.
Okay. I'm not saying that maybe ETs are helping our government or haven't helped our government. I just don't believe that the ETs were helping the Germans with their technology. That's all I'm saying.
No.
And I
agree with you.
Yeah, I do too. I think the facts, if you really, like you were saying, Gary, if you really do the research, and you too, Thomas, that you find that things just don't add up.
No, they just don't add up. I mean, to me, I just look at the mechanics, the metals they were using, like you mentioned earlier, Gary, the things like that. And then you look at the craft like the Hanabu. And you see, like, these gun ports and gun turrets and everything else. I'm like, wait a minute. And you're telling me this thing is going to space and coming back in? I don't think so.
I don't know. So, James, do you think we're going to get disclosure in the next year or two?
Not in the way that people think. It's not going to come out and say, yes, hey, you know what, ET's been coming here, we made deals with all that. I just don't think it's going to happen like that for a lot of reasons, but two main ones. First of all, they lose a face, and they would pretty much be admitting that they've been lying for 80-plus years or whatever. And then there's going to be heads that's going to roll for trillions of dollars have been allocated for UFO research over the years and lying and everything. So not in the way that people think.
Thomas?
Yeah. And kind of piggyback on what you're saying there too, James, is people have enough distrust in government already. Now you're going to add in something like this that, oh yeah, and guess what else? Besides everything else that you don't trust us for, you can't really trust us now for UFOs because we've known they've been here since 1947. So I just don't see it happening.
No. How about the story where these UFOs went over the White House over a week's period of time?
The ones back in
1952.
Yeah. You know, I'm one of these people that I'd love to have that Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine from the old TV show and go back and look at some of these things, because I look at things from at times a skeptical point of view. Not that I want to disprove anything, but it's just I go into things cautiously. And I want to make sure that these things that, you know, they were talking about in the 1950s were reported accurately. Like, okay, you know, we do have these photographs. Yes, we do have radar data, which I'd like to see. I want to see the physical evidence. I mean, yes, it's extremely interesting, the 1950s cases on there. very compelling, but I want to see more evidence behind it.
Well, I sure do. Well, Thomas, is there anything you want to say before we sign off here?
I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I really enjoyed the show tonight. I mean, it was great. And matter of fact, for all the shows you had on this week, I was binge listening to all of them the last few days over and over again. And I'm just really happy that you invited me on the air.
Well, I always enjoy having you on. James, is there anything you want to say?
I'm always enjoy coming on. I always enjoy talking to Thomas. And I got to say, the most story that I heard all week was the rental car and the machine gun and helicopter. I thought that was very entertaining this week.
I don't know if you heard that one, Thomas, but supposedly John Lear.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, could you imagine you get an Enterprise rental car, right? You drive it out to the desert, and then you decide you're going to shoot it with a machine gun. And you just blow it, hundreds of holes through it. Then you set a bomb off on it. And then you take it back to the rental car agency. I don't know. They probably had to tow it on a flatbed truck or something. Could you imagine, though, the person who rented it to him? I mean, I don't know how he got away with it. Because
I've been in that. Go ahead, Gary.
No, go ahead.
I've been in that situation where the guy has been out there and walked around the car multiple times. And, this little mark wasn't on here when you got the car.
And you see like I said, what if they filled
all
the
tires are completely flat. It looks like somebody took a Gatling gun to this car.
Blew it up also, blew out all the windows and everything. And yeah, I thought that was hilarious. And that was Bob Lazar and, and John Lear. And I tell you, John Lear would have done that because when he was young, he was wild from what I heard, what Art Bell used to tell me. And I just couldn't imagine. And, I've rented a car in the past from Enterprise years ago. And, I had car insurance, but I had like $500 deductible. And I didn't take out their insurance, right? So when they walked around the car, that scratch wasn't there. And you're looking at it, what scratch? Oh, that scratch on that, right there, right by where you put the key in by the trunk. There's a 2-inch scratch there. It was not there. Well, that's going to cost you $150-$200. We're going to have to bill your credit card. I could just imagine, here's whatever car it is, and now it's Swiss cheese. And I just could imagine somebody peeing their pants or a bunch of people peeing their pants, let alone, I don't even know why the authorities didn't get involved in it. Because how could you explain? Oh, I left it in the bad part of town. Yeah.
Oh, and I'd depending on your sense of humor, I'd want to look at the guy that returned it to and say, yeah, I did put a small scratch on her. You better look the car over before he goes up to look at it.
Yeah, and by the way, I had trouble with it running. It didn't want to start.
But I did fill the tank up, popped it off like you wanted me to anyway.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been no gas left in it. It was from what they did to it. I guarantee it. So,
right.
I wish I could have seen that. I have to be honest with you. When I heard that, that made my whole week. My whole week.
Have to have photographs of. And, put that photograph up someplace you could look at it every day.
Oh, yeah. Just think about all the times you rented a car and they torture you. Seriously. The last car rental we had was about 2 years ago, when my wife, Deer, ran out and took out part of her front end. And it was, I think it was Enterprise. And they, again, when we returned the car back to them, it was like, hey, it's about a half a gallon short of gas. Don't worry about it. It'll cost you $13 for us to take it to the gas station.
I would have loved to have seen the guy with the clipboard that goes out once you bring it in to walk around and check all the boxes. I'd have loved to have seen his expression after, bringing that in there.
Yeah. That would be priceless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would.
Especially when he had to go back with a wet pair of pants.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, I just want to say thank you. Is there anything you want to push Thomas at all or anything? How people can find you or anything?
Well, if they go to my MUFON Ohio website, they'll actually find some new programs I'm doing. I've got a couple of programs I'm doing at some local events coming up in the next 2 months. But check it out for a schedule if they would at MUFONOhio.com.
Okay. Well, we're going to end the show. Don't hang up, guys, because I'm going to talk to you for a second afterwards. We'll be back on Tuesday. And who's our guest again on Tuesday?
Oh, Paul DePoli, and we're going to be talking about the RFK conspiracy and assassination.
Okay, it sounds like it's going to be a killer show. Everybody, you have what's left of the weekend. We'll catch you on Tuesday. Everybody, take care.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.